Grace to you and peace from the one who creates all things, sustains all things, and redeems all things. Amen. Amen. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. And that covenant will be with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and it will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors. But this is the covenant I will make. I will put the law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. This vision of Jeremiah the prophet in the 31st chapter is one of my favorite scriptures because it paints a picture of the church and of the kingdom, which is powerful and present. It is a word of hope for God's people that those days are surely coming when we will no longer rely on the teaching of the law for our sustenance, but that it will be so much a part of who we are and how we are that the gospel, the law of the gospel, as it says in Romans, will become our norm. When Luther was practicing as a priest over 500 years ago, he confronted a church and lived in a church and in a society that was bound tight by the law. As I said in our little class between services, Luther was, he was a little wacky in so many ways. But part of the world and the milieu in which he lived was one in which the devils were running rampant. I love that wonderful hymn, you know, that the hordes of devils are everywhere. And where evil seemed rampant and where the only way that one could deal with the world was to live within the law and in the law and for the law. And in that way somehow appease this God who always seemed to be chasing after every one of us. The covenant, the old covenant, was one that was lived in fear. And then Luther read in Romans 3 this text about the law and about the whole world being held accountable. And he says in this reading that somehow every one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are now justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. Suddenly, the relationship between God and the human ones takes on a new light. This relationship that was characterized by fear and loathing, by Luther's dominant sense that somehow he was a worm in the face of God and dirt before the Holy One, is turned on its head. Every one of us, it says in Romans, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but are now justified in the cross. That's the heart of the Reformation, the reformation of the church and theology. That what Jeremiah speaks of a new covenant and a new age and a new way for us to live in the world, it is a way that is characterized by God's grace and God's love in life itself. We are being reformed even now. And it isn't always easy. For a little while, as I was doing some boat building, I had the opportunity to do some metal smithing to make some fittings that I needed to make. And I learned anew all about reforming things. When you start with a lump of metal and you heat it up cherry red and you begin to beat on it, it begins to anneal and change its molecular structure, and things begin to spread out, and you can hardly keep the thing going in the direction that you want, and you quench it, and you heat it back up red hot, and you pound it some more, you reform it from some lump of metal into a form that is useful. It's, as one smithy put it, torturing metal into shape. And hopefully somewhere along the line in all of that pounding and cutting and snipping, you end up with something that looks almost like what you want. And you're covered in dirt and sweat and your hands are tired and the metal is fatigued. But you get there. It's a painful process. In Luther's quote, discovering of the word in the new way, it wasn't as if on one particular day, suddenly the church grew up and it was all nice. The Reformation was a process of many years of death and hardship, of people leaving and coming. Never forget that in the midst of the whole Reformation movement, the Peasants' War happened. Hundreds of thousands died. Churches were burned. The Reformation was born more out of a maelstrom and fire than a nice little church meeting. That's how we have Reformations these days, isn't it? We all get together for a meeting, and we think it's painful. The other thing I learned about metal in my metalworking is that although you pound it and it flows and it moves and you get it into the shape that you want it and you quench it in that cold water, it never stops moving. Metal is liquid that moves very slowly. And so the hammer blows that you make continue to reverberate through that structure. In the same way, the Reformation that began with this text in Romans continues even to this day. We are still a reforming church who seek the freedom of the gospel promised by Jesus Christ. You see, what was so powerful about the Reformation is that Luther uncovered God's love in a way that led people to feel free. And boy, there is nothing more dangerous than setting people free. Free from their captivity to sin. Free from their captivity to the church. When you set people free, change happens. And so as Jesus stood around and spoke to those who had gathered around him, he rooted them in the word and said, if you know this word, if you know me, you will know truth. And if you know truth, you will be free. Free to love. Free to serve. Free to form and reform in my image. The church is still, I hope, reforming. In this day, it's so easy to look around and and celebrate on Reformation Sunday the work that was done by all of those heroes of old, Melanchthon and Luther and Calvin and all of those folks who worked so hard and gave up blood, sweat, and tears, and sit comfortably in our theology and our church and our structure and say, isn't that nice? But these challenging words of Paul and of the prophet Jeremiah and of Jesus ring just as truly today for us. This Reformation that was begun over 500 years ago, this movement called Christianity that was begun in Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, is still happening. The metal is still moving. We are not yet fully formed. We are taking chances in the church. We are trying to understand that we are not, that our unity is not rooted in our confession or in our policy or in our structure or in how we understand ordination or sexuality or people. We're beginning to understand that our unity is not rooted in those things in which we agree or disagree. But at the center of our reformation is Christ. Christ crucified. Christ risen from the dead. Christ present. It is to Christ that Luther cleaved. And he let the rest fall aside. And in the same way, we too are called to be reformed in God's grace, to have the courage of Luther and Melanchthon and Calvin and the other reformers, to boldly proclaim God's love in the world, to be set free from our own fear, our own apathy, our own comfortable place in the pew for God's love. This is our God who says to us, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. This is that day. And the Reformation that was begun 500 years ago lives in you. Amen.